Merry Christmas. I don't want to fight tonight with.
We had to start recording before they all ruined Spider-Man for me. It's live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast. I, of course, am Sam Fells, your host, former writer and editor, and currently a little under the weather, so I apologize how I sound. You can find me now at Deadspin or on Twitter at FellsGate. We are, of course, in fatal four-way formation with our usual crew. Leading off, he is Dr. Viral.
We are in festive four-way formation.
Festive four-way formation. You're right. The Yule log is burning and extended. And maybe Christmas drunk. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest jackass no talent in the business. No offense. Andrew Cieslak.
Welcome to unemployment, motherfuckers.
Welcome to unemployment. Congratulations. Enjoy it. With a brief time, no one worry about Slack. He's got something else lined up. He's not, you know, going to be on the breadline anytime soon. You can find him on Twitter at Torque Penderloin. He is working the ones and twos tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, Matt McClure.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Indeed. You can find him on Twitter at Matt_McClure_. Last, probably least, he is the goal line assassin and the Oracle of Humboldt Park, Fifth Feather John.
Are you in the protocol, Sam?
I am not in the protocol. I have returned three negative tests, so I am not in the protocol. I might be in the concussion protocol.
But you're at the very least in the snots protocol.
Yeah. I'm just in the head cold protocol, so which in some ways is more annoying, but also not nearly as scary. So anyway, we are coming to you for what probably will be our last podcast of 2021, because I doubt these three are going to be able to rouse me next week for anything.
Well, no, we'll be doing our live show off air.
We will be doing our live show off air at a secret location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andrew's got things.
It's an invitation only.
Invitation only. Although I wouldn't be surprised if a couple people crash it, but we won't know them. And we're hoping I make it to the end.
Without getting kicked out, correct?
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, well, this time I'll be bringing someone, so that'll probably keep me in check from getting kicked out.
Ugh, you say that now.
I say that now, but
you brought someone to the last one you got kicked out of.
No, I attended that one solo.
You were Stag there?
Yeah,
he was.
Stag too?
He was. I think I would remember, Matt.
Would you, though, given the circumstances?
We will kick off things tonight with, of course, our usual discussion of the beloved. And we're recording this on Wednesday night. I don't know when you're listening to it, but it has been two nights since the Bears loss to the Vikings. And John, I'm still not quite sure what it was I watched there. I'm still kind of in disbelief. It was everything in one. Like, it was everything about this era of Bears football in four quarters. They don't usually do it in one game so heavily, but this one, they managed to do it. It was almost impressive.
I thought we were getting our boo game, our nonstop booing for four
Came
quarters.
Close.
We did. We did come very close on that first series when they ran the first play. They got a first down, and it got called back for holding, and then they went three and out. You could hear the boos starting right away, and I thought we were going to get that, but we didn't. But it was pretty much exactly how you described it. It was everything that we've come to expect the Bears to be in four quarters, and it was just a flavor of everything. I will say probably the most frustrating thing for me is the fact that they were moving the ball in between the 20s with ease.
They've kind of done that all year.
Yeah.
Most games, not every game, obviously.
Right.
But
the fact once they got somewhat close, well, to me, the Bears always, the most frustrating part is they get stalled out either right at the 20 or around the 40 yard line.
They were 0-for-6 in the red zone, correct?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's
fucking unprecedented right there.
That was who they stalled out everything in the red zone. Other games, they'll stall out around the 40, where that's like you're in that weird gray area where you're either going to take a 55 plus yard field goal, or you got a pooch punt, or you got to go for it on fourth down. And they always, you know, never make it on fourth down.
Literally,
obviously,
every single one of their drives ended in one and every way, shape, or form in Minnesota territory.
Unbelievable. I mean, that was just a game where Minnesota was just dying to lose.
Oh, they were trying so hard.
So bad. and it's just the Bears could not do anything.
I mean, I texted you guys this. I'm hoping it shapes up that the Vikings have to win in week 18 for a playoff spot and the Bears beat them again, because that's kind of how it's looking. And they clearly want to lose to the Bears, and they clearly want to miss the playoffs, and they clearly want to get rid of this head coach, and they couldn't do it.
No, I mean, it's a good long game for the Bears, and the fact that Zimmer probably will get another year with the Vikings, Cousins will get another year with the Vikings. It's almost
how does Kirk Cousins throw for 70 fucking yards against a second string defense who
and you basically
no
win by
to
two touchdowns?
How does that happen? It's shocking.
I could not stop laughing at the interception that he threw, which was so bad. And
which necessitated the picture from
right.
Slack.
I mean, very much so. I want to talk about that interception for a second. The crew, the broadcast crew said, well, he was hoping for a holding. Well, it's like, okay, yeah, well, usually when a quarterback is expecting the holding, they'll fire a rocket where that receiver is.
Right.
And just to make it super obvious to the officiating crew, like, hey,
bring
my
their
guy
eyes
got,
to yeah, it. Yeah. Like
my guy just got tripped up or held or whatever. But he threw just the biggest lollipop in the world that was basically a fair catch for, I think it was DeAndre Carter.
I thought it was Deion Bush, but
Deion Bush. Also feels like that was the first interception of the year.
Right.
I know it wasn't, but it feels that way.
Roquan had a pick six.
Right.
Yeah, 10 fucking years ago.
Yeah. That's it. That's all
in week
been.
Two.
It was still warm out back then.
Yeah, Slack, I'll pivot this to you. I don't know. I want to be frustrated like John was, but like I was watching the game, and as stupid as it was, they scored 3 points. And they never were close to a team obviously trying to lose. There were like enough performances on the field that I was like, oh, that's kind of fun to watch. Like Roquan was everywhere. The guys they pulled in off the practice squad are apparently better than the guys who start. Where I don't know where these guys have been. And, you know, Fields did that thing where there were some plays where you're like, oh, God, you know, that is bad. And then there were a lot of plays where you're like, yep, that's what it looks like. That's what it's going to be. You know, the thing I'd been complaining about that we hadn't seen. And yet they still only managed 3 points. I don't understand it.
I don't get it.
I mean, like, at least, like, these practice squad guys showed out. So now they have to keep playing. And whoever the next GM is will have, like, tape on them. And he can decide if they're actually worth keeping. That was, like, my conclusion of the whole thing.
Yeah, the Thomas Graham guy. They drafted him, didn't they?
Yes, they drafted him in the sixth round, and it took them almost two full seasons to get him onto the
field. A season where they've only had one cornerback.
Right. They're throwing Vilda.
They've been throwing Vilda.
Artie Burns.
Yeah. Yep.
Great.
And they had to bench Vildor after 11 weeks because he was horrible. And then they're like, well, we got nobody else. And then magically they had somebody else this whole time.
Hang out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I from the first play of the game, I think I texted to the group that, you know, it would be so Bears if their DBs flash in a game like this.
And they did.
You literally did say that. Yeah. Yep, that is what you said.
And then
they allowed
Graham
70 yards passing. Jesus Christ.
And it was the same guy. You know, Vildor got toasted a few times. You know, they all obviously didn't play great, but
doing,
I mean,
his best
Thomas,
Mike Richardson impersonation.
Thomas Graham having 3 pass breakups in one game is 3 more than Vildor's had all season.
So not only can they not game plan or adjust, but now we know the coaching staff can't actually evaluate the talent they have on the roster.
Exactly. Where's the
except that they purposely brought the talent in the first place. So I don't see how you all of a sudden forget that you literally drafted a guy.
Well, finding bottom of the roster guys is reason to keep Ryan Pace around, right?
Right. Is that what they're going to say? Is that what they're going to tell us?
I don't think so. I think it's all coming down.
That's what Hub's telling you.
That's what everyone's favorite guy has said.
That's a Hub reference.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
John, you think it's all coming down?
I think it is. I think it's all coming down, yeah. I think there's enough
to
there's what a lot
end
of smoke.
Is another story, though.
Yeah. Well, I think when I say it's all coming down, I think Pace and Nagy.
That's what I mean. But, like, who the fuck are they going to hire? Like, you get Teddy and George in the room, and, like, who do they want to, like, take communion with?
Well, they still got Dan Pompey's list to work from. So
right.
They've got ideas there. Yeah.
Pompey's list. That might be the name of this podcast from going forward. This is Dan Pompey's list.
That actually would be that would be the name.
I still like the committed the committed Adonijé.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too.
It's just incredible to me. I mean, it never gets old.
No, you know what? It doesn't.
It doesn't. Well, the whole thing never gets old. But what doesn't get old to me is the fact that Matt Nagy is an offensive guy, and how many games is it?
Offensive Andrew's, or offensive?
Both.
Yes.
It's Andrew's favorite thing where he's an offensive genius, and his team has scored three or less points in a first half more than any other Bears team in like history. Like, how is that even possible?
What did you guys think of Matt Nagy's Lou Piniella, Bruce Springsteen? Do you see how much it means to me? Is Rich Hill? Do you see how hard I'm trying here? Do you see how hard I'm fighting? How upset I am? Do you see how much I care? Act all night. I'm just like, dude, you know you're done. Just try and have a little dignity, right?
Well, he knew that he's on national TV.
Yeah.
So he wanted to make a point to everybody that, you know, it wasn't a regional game. So you had the whole country watching, and apparently you had 16 million diseased people watching it.
Yeah, how bored was this country that was?
Well, we're all stuck inside again. So,
I was going to say, John, quite literally diseased at this point.
I think there was a lot of implications in both fantasy and betting wise in the game, I think also. But,
Look, the Bears are box office. Like, everyone keeps asking, why do they get put on prime time? This is why, because they draw numbers. It's the Steelers. It's the Cowboys.
We are one of the biggest fan bases. We are the single biggest captive market between LA splitting, but seriously, between LA splitting now to make whatever jokes you want about it being a transplant town and those two teams just like helicoptering in.
There are more Bears fans in LA than there are Rams or Chargers fans.
And then obviously New York is splitting between the Jets and the Giants.
Also, New York doesn't give a shit about football. Yeah. Like, it's like even when the Red Sox or Yankees suck, they're on Sunday Night Baseball five times a year. That's just how it goes. So stop asking. Stop complaining. This is just how it's going to be.
Stop whining.
Stop whining.
Well, yeah, I mean, not to get, to New York, but I think a big part of the reason, too, why the Yankees and Red Sox always draw is because, you know, so many people along the East Coast, even outside of those two states, are fans of the two teams, whereas, you know, people in Maine don't give a shit about the Giants or the Jets.
Right.
You know, if they even care about the Patriots at all.
Well, they do now.
Right. Well, yeah, now everybody's a Patriots fan. But nevertheless, this is not a New York podcast, nor do we talk about New York. So I don't
know. That's
as much
New York
as
too.
We need to do. Yeah.
Did you need a breath, John?
I need to collect my thoughts a little bit. There were some other things I had in the notepad that I think we can get back around to. But
okay. Feel free to just start. Or do you want to do a Justin Fields discussion?
We can go there.
Okay, because
since you brought him up.
Yeah, there were some bad plays, and it wasn't, system or coaching. Like, the first fumble was inexcusable. There were a couple plays where he took sacks, where he's doing the Rex Grossman run backwards thing, which you can't do. And then there was that drive in the fourth quarter that ended with everyone dropping the ball on him in the end zone, where he made like five straight throws. And you're like, wait, okay, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I was talking about last week. These were the plays I hadn't seen enough of. And then he just strung them all together.
It's like, why don't they make the whole plane out of the hurry up offense?
Well, no, literally, this was brought up today by podcast legend Colleen Kane in the Trib. Like, this is sounding like Mitch when Mitch said, "Get me out of the pocket. I like to run the hurry up."
Right.
Knows what he can do. Yeah, and the Fields said the exact same thing. So.
I think the big difference, and I've heard the comparison now outside of podcast legend Colleen Kane, but others saying it as well, that making the Mitch comparison.
People are saying it more and more.
Mm-hmm. The difference is that Fields is doing this now 9 games in. It took Mitch 2 seasons right. to get comfortable enough to have a voice. I think the biggest difference is that Fields knows, like, he's not going to – okay, let me back up. If you're going to compare the two guys, first of all, you can't even compare them because – Mitch is just a listener, and he's going to do exactly what the coaches tell him to do.
Or at least try to.
And not be able to think for himself. Fields is going to hear what the coaches say. He's going to see what he sees, and he's going to make the best decision that he thinks is it. Like, if you go back to earlier this year where they ran – I think it was it the Packers game where they ran that, like, play-action boot, and I think Mooney got free, but it wasn't his first read. It was – like his fifth read on the play, and everybody after the game was like, why didn't you throw the ball to Mooney, even though he was streaking down the field 60 yards? And Fields was like, well, because that's not where they told me to look. And like when they ran that play again, that was the first place he looked, because he was like, that was, I think, enough for Fields to realize these coaches are fucking idiots. And I need to, this is my career, and I can't just go by everything that they're telling me to do. I have to be able to think critically for myself.
I think he's also figured out they're not going to be here.
Right. I think that, well, yeah, that's another part, but I think Fields is smart enough that to me is probably one of the most encouraging things. And maybe it's just because I'm still in my Mitch Hayes, but
all in my brain.
Mm-hmm. It's just, he seems like a smart enough guy to get like, okay, the coaches are there to help me, but they're not there to micromanage me or control my brain. You know, it's me out there. It's my career. It's me making the decisions. So I'm going to do what I think is best. And the coaches are there just to support me, not to, you know, be my Madden controller telling me what to do. And I have to just follow along. So if to me, that's probably in addition to some, you know, flash plays that he's had and the drops in the end zone on plays that were on throws that were really great. That to me is probably one of the most encouraging signs in his development that I've seen through this year.
I totally agree. I guess the one thing I'm sort of shocked by is, you know, Nagy has to get some stuff on tape here too. Like, he's got to find a new job.
Oh, it's on tape, Sam.
It's all on tape, but he's got...
Tossed to the short side on 3rd and 4.
You know, not to say that once again we are right in our analysis, but, you know...
we are.
But we are.
He is who he is, and we said it last year. Everybody's like, well, why doesn't he just go balls to the wall and, you know, do whatever? Like, throw caution to the wind. We said that last year for that playoff game in New Orleans. And what did they do? They ran the most vanilla game plan.
Except for Slack's guy, Javon.
The one trick play that they had. That was all that they had in their whole plan. And then once Wims dropped it, they didn't take any other shots the rest of the game. Even though that was almost a carbon copy of that Minnesota Monday night game, where it was a game where they were moving the ball between the 20s. New Orleans was doing everything they could to just cough it up to the Bears. And the Bears did jack shit with it.
Is someone in the car?
Oh,
can you hear that? Am I the only one hearing this?
I'm hearing it, but it's fine.
Okay.
It just adds to our ambiance, Sam.
Oh, okay. Like, fair
it's
enough.
It's like we're sitting at the corner bar.
And right. Okay. Yeah, we're doing it at
Judd's,
the bar.
Judd's doing this while driving out of the Eisenhower.
Yep. No, I'm lounged out on my couch.
Yeah, no, you're right, John. But like at that point, I don't think Nagy thought he was coaching to get another offensive coordinator or quarterbacks coach gig. He is now.
But this is who he is. This is just who he is. He's shown himself. His true colors have come out. There is no, and apparently he has no.
Well, this is like Oregon State head coach stuff. This is like coach of Rutgers.
This is assistant QB coach for life stuff. Like you're not going to be trusted to do anything.
I mean, Trestman got an offensive coordinator gig after he was here, so I guess anyone can.
He had that one really good year.
The number two offense.
That's right. I mean, Nagy never had the number two offense.
Never came close.
Oh, no, his offense was a little bit number two.
I was just going to say his offense has definitely been number two at points.
Very, very good. Very good. Slack, Matt, anything you want to add before we move on to the West Side Hockey Club, as is our way?
Can we talk about the Grease Man for a little bit?
Please.
This is the
first. Oh, John, I didn't mean to ignore your yellow pad. We can get to that too. Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
No, I just thought it was curious. I mean, given what, and let the record show, that both Brian Griese and his old man have never met something they could not fucking complain about that wasn't their fault. But this is the Walter Sobchak corollary in that you're not wrong, you're just an asshole. Where Greasy, like, this is the first time, like,
he stood up for us.
Yeah, George McCaskey's name has been said on national television in a negative context.
He went right to the top.
Yes, he did.
He was like, he wasn't Chris Collinsworth trying to say, oh, it's just been bad luck and we got good people here. And, you know, sometimes
Jenny is Halas's daughter and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, yeah, no, yeah. They like, don't know their ass from a hole in the ground.
Yeah, he wasn't. Well, he's one of the few on TV who's seen it from the inside. Yes, even for just one season, right? He was only here 1 year.
It's all you need.
It's all you need.
Trip over his dog in the driveway or something.
Right. He did that, and Brian Robinson, different Brian. Brian Robinson also did that.
RIP, or different Brian Robinson.
No, that Brian Robinson.
No, yeah.
Oh, RIP.
But that's not how Brian Robinson broke his
wrist. He tripped over his dog and died. It was sad.
That's not how he died. He did trip over
his
dog.
No, that's it. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
Well, that was what they said he did, but he did something else.
But anyway.
Which can't be spoken about.
As Matt was saying, I think these are the kind of things that matter to them. Like, when you get called out on a national broadcast, that's the kind of thing they notice, I think.
By name.
By name.
Not just management. He said George McCaskey.
He even said Ted's name, which you don't really hear on a national broadcast.
And you've already heard rumblings that Ted doesn't want anything to do with this anymore.
That's probably what he was screaming at the TV when his name came up.
Yeah. He's turned into Dante from Clerks.
He's Dante.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. Dante Phillips.
Ted Dante Phillips.
He wants no part of it, but they just keep
pushing him out there.
Yeah, and they don't restructure the organization to where he doesn't, you know, he's not in the room making the football decisions. But ultimately, when they come out of the room with the football decisions, they have to go to Ted and say, "Hey, this is what we're doing." He has to say, "Okay." So until they restructure the organization, he's going to still continue to get his name brought up by Brian Griese and, you know, whoever else knows the ins and outs of the
Anyone does. Again, this is why it's notable. No one's ever said it before.
My hunch is they're going to take this right up to, is it the week 17 deadline, mm-hmm, where you can start interviewing people if you've already axed your guy. My hunch is that's what they're going to do. I don't know if they have to wait till after week 16's game or after week 17's game or wherever it is. They're going to take Nagy right up to the line.
Well, they will probably say, we are going to make a change at the end of the year. Would you like to coach the remaining two games or not?
Right. And then they're going to get started. But that's too late because they need to redo the whole thing. They need the president. They need the GM. They need the coach.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what I've been saying.
I'm so annoyed. Who's going to be the coach? Well, we have other problems.
We have other problems. That's like number three on the list.
Right.
I remember what I wanted to ask John. He doesn't remember what he wanted to ask me. But he and I tend to see these things the same way, which is why I want to start with him. John, did you read Dan Wiederer's like big expose on behind the organization? And
I did.
I did. You know, it was well done. I don't really think it stated anything we didn't know. There wasn't anything groundbreaking in there. But the part I got a kick out of was, so it's Gary Fensick and Patrick Manley and Olin Krutz and maybe one or two
white
others.
White guys.
And they were, well, Olin's not white.
Nevertheless.
And they were all complaining, just like, well, they don't bring any of the former players in. You know, they just don't bring us in to tell them what's going on. And I'm like, okay, hang on a second. Like, I don't want the phone and OB show going on in George McCaskey's.
Were you just listening to a job interview? They're just basically saying, you should hire us.
Right. Just because you play for the Bears does not give you a golden ticket to go marching in.
That being said,
I mean, there are probably.
We've seen many, many different facets of the Olin Krutz experience, low these many years.
I mean, like Olin knows his shit.
He's not a moron.
He's not a moron. And I don't think Patrick Manley's a moron. And I'm sure Gary Fensick isn't a moron. But, like, you don't have a right just because you pulled on the uniform to go march it in there and give him your 2 cents. Like, hang on.
Olin and Manley, they literally bent over for this team for a fucking combined like 27 years, though.
How does Gary Fensick still have a brain left? That dude's got to be like mush up there.
He's independently wealthy.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm asking. How does his brain work?
Doug Plank be the like a flying trapeze act. He was hanging back.
He wasn't spearing
motherfuckers.
Yeah, he hit a lot with his shoulders. So
I mean, I understand the sentiment like pick someone's brain, go to lunch or whatever. What are we doing? What do you see? You know, like mm-hmm. Olin, especially guys like Olin who are still analysts watching every game. They're watching every game multiple times. But like, yeah, you don't have to bring in Richard Dent to like tell you.
Exactly. They tried that, and he was falling asleep during meetings that he was the coach of.
Right. How smart are these guys if they had a choice? They didn't have to stay in Chicago and watch Bears games. They could have done national. They could have gone anywhere else.
Yeah. The season ticket holder.
The fact that they stayed here is an indictment on their level of intelligence.
Right.
You're not hired. You're stupid enough to still be here.
It's like
ones who are born here, not you.
Right. It's like the Steve Stone corollary that we always bring up. It's like you want to be mentioned as the GM, but you don't want to
make any decisions.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you don't want to take responsibility for any decisions. You want to be
because people only remember when Steve Stone was right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean,
they're like he knew that he was going to go.
If like they've had ex players who are like, hey, I would like to be part of the front office. Can I, start out as a scout or an assistant?
GM, yeah, Ron Chico. Rivera. Yeah, Chico. Yeah. Start out in quality control.
But if there've been others and you turn them away because you just wanted to, that's a problem. But like the idea, like, oh yeah, just roll right in whenever Tuesday 1 o'clock I'm here. I can't get there.
No, I'm glad you brought that up, Sam, because that was one of the things that I, from that article that struck me as well, first of all,
didn't we all see that with the Bulls? Didn't you get enough of that with the Bulls?
And the Hawks.
And the Hawks.
Yeah. Every Chicago team. It's like, it's funny because it's like, if you really wanted a job in the NFL, there's 31 other teams. So if you were super smart, the Bears aren't the only team hiring.
That's right.
You can get a job anywhere if you're.
Well, they don't want to be hired. They just want to be consulted. They want George to call them, and I'm like,
again, if you wanted it, it was out there for you. I mean, again, Chico and Leslie Frazier.
Well, and we'll let people in on our discussion last night. Is there going to be a crowd that wants them to pry Chico loose from Washington? Because I think he could if he really wanted to.
Oh, he doesn't want. I mean, for as
depending
much
depending on
a,
who they hire as GM,
as much of a goddamn clusterfuck as this is, that thing there, Killian. Like, yeah, he would probably jump in a heartbeat.
Well, and
that's
we
not
keep...
the worst decision, but it's not necessarily inspired.
It's not the
either.
Best, but it's not inspired, but it would hardly be the worst. And as we said repeatedly,
would that be the ultimate revenge on Lovey?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Because Lovey did not like how aspirational Chico was.
Well, and in the long run, that ended up hurting the Bears even more.
It did. Rod Marinelli.
Ugh. No, first, if you remember...
No, Babich.
Or Babich, right.
Or as Terry called him, a Bobby Babich.
Bobby Babich. Well, as we keep saying, like, for any GM or coach, this job should be sexy as hell. Because the hardest question is already solved. Like, they're just going to hand that guy to you.
So you're saying that it's solved now, then, after last week?
I mean... I think most GMs and coaches are going to think it is.
You're not going to find a lot more. You're not going to find a lot more upside on a second year quarterback than that. If you're going to come in here, like,
I never sold him down the river, Matt. I was just like,
was Slack's whole deal.
You know, the only guy who'd walk in here and be like, you got to trade Justin Fields is Josh McDaniels. That guy would walk in here and be like, nope, can't work with him. I need a pocket passer.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. He'll do it. He'll do the same.
Well, he's not going anywhere anyway.
He's not going anywhere, so you don't have to worry about it.
Again, speaking of Slack starting succession, that's the McDaniels plan right there.
All right. Let us pivot.
No segue this week.
We're just gonna hard turn it.
Drunk.
Christmas. Yeah, I wish. So we only really have one game to talk about, right? They played Dallas. That's it. Did they play another one between the last?
No,
time we did
Nashville.
This?
Where they got dong whipped by the AHL, by the fucking Milwaukee Admirals.
Not good. So you know we're however many games into this, 30 games into this. So we have some idea of who's on the roster and who they're using. So guys, I want to play a game with you. Of players we've seen, NHLer or not an NHLer?
Moron, not a moron.
Yeah, you've seen enough of these guys to know. So I'm just going to run through some names, and you tell me if they're an NHLer or not an NHLer. He's only played 5 minutes, but I'm going to throw him on the list. Curtis Gabriel.
Kiss not my an ass, suck my dick, everyone. Fucking Derek King. Oh, we gotta carve out a role for him. Fuck you. You're sending fucking Ian Mitchell down for this ass wipe. He's 28 years old. He didn't even go to the Petri Cantiola.
It's not gonna get a hell of a lot better.
Curtis Gabriel is the answer for all the dopes that said move Brent Sopel to forward after the 2008-2009 season.
Just as unpleasant looking.
Yeah. When Sopel was horrible.
Let's see if he lands a fucking network newscaster.
Mm-hmm. So that's Curtis Gabriel. Not actionable.
I just wanted to get a rise out of you, really.
I knew you do.
He's averaging 9 minutes per game of even strength time. Reese Johnson,
not an NHLer.
Andrew,
No, definitely not. Yeah,
that's your guy. That's why I let you answer it.
John,
no, definitely not.
Also averaging 9 minutes per game at even strength. Mike Hardman,
no,
absolutely not.
He offends me.
Get it? Yeah, get
his
name and
his number.
Yeah, put Tavo's number down, bitch.
Again, averaging 9 minutes of even strength time per game when he dresses. Mackenzie Entwistle.
No.
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. And this is just
you
because I'm not wrong in my analysis. Yeah, exactly. 12th, 13th forward. He can take a face off for you. Big body, can move a little bit. Don't hate him. Also scouted him. So, and I thought he stood out in the game that I saw at the Rosemont before things shut down. So I will not back down, much like Hub
and Tom Petty. Averaging 10 minutes per game for 9 games at even strength. Josiah Slavin.
Yes.
TBD.
Yeah, no, I don't have enough info.
Probably an incomplete, but I've seen little Slavin willing to get his nose dirty and make some plays from out of the corner. So I will say, Yes, with the caveat of 12th, 13th forward.
Okay. And let me back it up, Sam, because I didn't get to finish my hard man thought when I said he's not an NHLer. No finish. I mean, for a guy that gets as many chances, if you can't bury at least one out of 34, sorry, get off the plane.
Who are you, fucking Harrison Ford in Air Force One now?
That's right.
Get off my plane.
In 17 games, averaging 10 minutes of even strength time, Henrik Borgstrom.
John, you take this one.
Yeah, I think he is.
Where does he slot?
I think you can. He's one of those guys that you can slot anywhere in the lineup.
And get what?
We get exactly what you're seeing.
Get sick, because that's all he does. He's a big sickie, and it's not even fucking COVID.
Get shorty.
No, I think I think he's a guy that you can slot him in the third line. I think when they moonlit him here at the top line, he scored a goal in that first game. So, I like what I've seen from him. So I think, yes, NHLer.
He's got an NHL skating stride. I'll give him that.
Yes.
Two goals and one assist in 17 games, and you're going to slot him anywhere in the lineup.
We love it, don't we, folks?
Well, not permanently. I'm not going to – he's not, in your top six from opening night on. But if you need him, he can do it for you. When he gets everybody sick on the team, he can flash in a game or two.
Next on the list, my guy, Filip Kurashev.
Yes.
Yeah.
NHL speed, NHL hands, just okay. Kind of in every direction at once.
Decent finish.
And he's still only 21, right?
Yeah, he's very young.
He doesn't need to go to Petri Kontiola skating school yet.
Not yet, no. We'll take a quick sidebar and move from is he an NHL or not. Is he a Hart Trophy winner or not? Brandon Hagel. I just wanted to hear the sound.
Why? He's a good player.
He's a good player. Why he's being
enjoyable to watch. He's fun. Why do we have to make
him into a
bigger
thing? If it has to
matter
this much, your team sucks shit.
Right. It shouldn't have to be. You don't have to find more reasons to like him.
Right.
Or to say that he's more important than he actually is. If you called up somebody tomorrow and offered them Brandon Hagel for your next four first round draft picks, no, you're going to get laughed off the phone. So not the most important player based on analytics or
he
whatever.
He better not be. All right. I'm sorry. I just saw that stuff today from our guy. And I was just like, oh, this is bad. But I'll give Scott this. He and I had a talk, and those analytic things that he pays for, that he prints, he's got to justify that expense somehow, and they are absurdly expensive. So that's why you see all that shit.
Are we going to do the blue line, or do we just know that none of that's...
Oh, we're doing the blue line. averaging 13 minutes a night, Riley Stillman.
No.
No way. That guy sucks.
Also averaging 13 minutes a night, Erik Gustafsson.
Get off Hell my no. fucking TV.
And my plane.
And my plane. Again, averaging 13 minutes of even strength time, Caleb Jones.
Too ouchy. Youngest, yeah, too ouchy, but he's better than I expected. But he's still not a top pairing with his brother, as was slotted by some.
Is he a top six?
He's a six or a seven.
Yeah.
He's a six or a seven, but again, like, stay healthy for Christ's sake. Like, is he a 70 and sunny guy or what the fuck?
So of all the guys I've mentioned who have filled the lineup at various times, got a couple guys who were 13th, 14th forward, got a couple bottom sixers, one MVP candidate, obviously, and one maybe number six defenseman. Maybe. So what are we watching? What are we doing here?
Well, you forgot to mention that they've got guys like Ian Mitchell and Wyatt Kelnuk, who could slot into roles and maybe could be top four defensemen.
Garbage Reichel nephew.
And Nicholas Beaudin.
Right. Any
who,
of those
who arrived.
Three,
9 months
ago.
Oh, yeah.
He already arrived. Yeah.
He already arrived.
He's a Riven. He is a Riven.
Any of those guys, you still need to find out whether they are an NHLer or not an NHLer. And they could potentially play big roles on your next contending team. But instead, we're wasting our time with the aforementioned not NHLers. That
I find Derek King so far to be right in the middle of the number line. But I will say the one of the few features I've noticed where he does push it in either direction, and it's the wrong direction, is he loves him a pile of shit. You know, he loves to put out some just formless goo out there constantly while we wait for someone like Lucas Reichel.
Who doesn't love a nice can of San Marzano's, Sam?
Right. You know, Kurashev can't get in the lineup every night, or like you said, Kalanuk, Mitchell. You know, we're watching this. Jujar Kara couldn't get out of the lineup until he was clinically dead. So
we are glad that he is for the apparently okay, though. That doesn't mean Sam, we think he's good at hockey, but we are glad that he's all right and able to skate.
Sam, may I offer up some optimism for you? Or optimisty.
Optimisty.
In regard to Derek King's lack of vision.
If that's what you want.
Well, in Elliot's 32 thoughts, he did say that the Hawks are probably going to hire somebody soon.
They're doing the Ernie Accorsi wig thing.
Yeah, they're talking to Jed Hoyer, though.
Well, so good. Because we know for sure that he's not a moron.
Right. So they're spanking it with Jed. And they've got their list. And so supposedly...
Checking Elliot, it twice.
Yeah, supposedly Elliot said that they're close to hiring a president, and he expects it soon after the new year.
It's Tony Dungy.
Yeah. It's also
they also Dan have Dan Pompey's list, yes.
Yeah, Trace Armstrong also denied being interested in the Hawks president job on Twitter last weekend. So Derek King is... Once the president's in... Or the new vision head of Blackhawks hockey of the organization. I would say that will be short lived. Derek King's taste for bad hockey.
Vision head is on the adult section of Disney Plus.
You don't know that, John. They might find a Brian Burke clone to be president.
Well, you know, hire... I'm staying optimistic until they get that person in there. So I'm going to say that
'tis the season, Sam.
I'm going to say that the person that they hire will have a vision and will know the type of players that they want. And he's going to see Curtis Gabriel just putting his equipment on. He doesn't even have to see him go out on the ice. Look at that guy, and he's going to say, "This dude sucks. Why are we wasting our roster spaces with guys like this?
They brought their fucking toys, Joe."
I hope that you're right, John. I don't know why it's taken this long. It shouldn't take this long.
Well, they talked to Jed. Who else did they talk to? They were talking to some other people around Chicago.
Some executive vice president in charge of telling people what to do. And some sports consulty thing.
I mean,
whoever that guy was.
At the end of the day, Rocky has owned this team for, 14 years now?
Well, he's been in hockey his whole life.
Well, Rocky hasn't.
Again, this is similar corollary.
Peter was way more involved.
Peter was the one around.
Yeah.
Regardless, Rocky was around. They were all together, and you know, if you're an owner of an original six team, again, the dichotomy between the Wirtzes and the McCaskies here. You should know enough people in and around the game.
Right.
You should have an idea, like, hey, I think if I had an opening, I would hire this guy.
There should be a list in the drawer.
Yeah.
It just says, even when things are going well, you know, if I have to find a new GM.
Well, yeah, but the last time that happened, Rocky opened the drawer and it was like Homer looking at Bart, where he turns into an anchor, but except it was Danny Boy.
Well,
it's just amazing that these
right,
people,
but that's not
these
good either.
Own these franchises and they don't know shit about the industry that they own.
Right. You've been going to games.
What other business or industry is like that?
Well, it probably was because McDonough kept telling you, no, don't worry, I know everything. I know exactly who I'd hire for GM. I'm the expert.
Yeah, I guess. But even still, like,
in fact, I'll be the GM.
Now that he's gone, you would think that Rocky and Danny would know enough people in and around hockey to be like, Oh yeah, I've spoken with that guy at a draft. Oh, I've spoken with so and so.
I like the cut of his jib.
Yeah, apparently not.
But no, not even close.
Apparently they just look around and see a bunch of people and have no idea who they are. It's like they're just wandering around.
It's 11 guys doing things.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Well, Kubi.
Well, this is what happens when a championship team just lands on you. Is you don't really,
when you're a hands-off owner, apparently.
Or you don't bother to learn. You don't bother to learn the process because there was no process. They were just handed this team.
Yeah.
And I guess they assumed that's how it would be.
The first one, there was no process. The second and third.
It had to be rebuilt, Sam. Don't sugarcoat it.
What, Johnny Oduya and Brandon Saad. There.
And Andrew Shaw.
Okay.
Also and Jimmy Hayes. Jimmy Hayes.
Right, yeah. He was an integral part of those two teams.
Tavo.
Well, he did lead to Versteeg. But
that was talent.
A brother named Antoine.
Okay, like deadline deals around the edges, I'm not arguing. I'm talking about like the actual core of the team landed on them.
Yes. No, there's no debating that.
Even Crawford wasn't their pick.
Winning the second and third took a little bit of stuff.
So were Keith and Seabrook.
You're right.
We don't need to do this show.
We don't need to do this show. We've done this show way too many times. Is there anything else about the Hawks we need to discuss? I don't think there is.
No.
No, they don't call the best color man in the business for nothing.
You're right. Exactly.
Can we talk about how fucking hilarious it is that the NHL and the IOC dangled the Olympics in front of all of the chuds that are hockey players to get them to go get vaccinated, and now they're not going anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's wonderful.
So I had a question for the group that I don't know if anybody's seen the answer because I'm too lazy to look it up, so I'm going to ask you all.
Uh-huh.
If the NHL players aren't going, are they still having hockey in the Olympics?
Yes.
And
who's playing?
Bobby
Ryan. Spangler Cup? The Spangler Cup, is Colleton going to be coaching Team Canada now?
They don't know who's going to play. I wrote. Thank you for reading, John. I wrote about this yesterday.
Well, sorry,
is
Sam.
There was an article about a Swedish player who would likely be picked, and he's like, well, I don't want to go for the same reasons they don't want to go. I don't want to be stuck in Beijing for 5 weeks. I don't want to do this. So they'll find them. I mean, they'll find enough guys sitting around doing nothing. Brian Gionta went last time, you know, like. So, yeah. Now, as we know, this should be the impetus for them to restart the World Cup because it's a better tournament.
Apparently they are. That was part of Elliot today, too.
Well, he was more just saying they should. I don't know that he said they were going to.
Yeah, but. When you're Elliot.
When you're Elliot.
What you say goes.
But yes, Matt, you're right. They absolutely got all these dopes to get fully vaccinated so they could go to the Olympics. Now they can't go. And it's no loss. If you're upset about the NHLers not being at the Olympics, don't be, because it's not that great. We've done that show.
Especially on the international ice.
Yeah, right. The only thing we're upset about is John doesn't get to sit there and pick his Team USA because it's a process and it's impressive.
And to continue to be pissed off about Savard being left off of the 87 Canada Cup.
Still angry.
Yep.
Was Dirk Graham on that one or the 91 one?
The 91.
No.
The Wiley veteran?
The Wiley veteran.
He brought the leadership to Team Canada that they desperately needed.
Right. They didn't have them.
In an era, in Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux's prime, they needed veteran leadership and grindy guys.
They needed a mustache.
I love Elliot. And John, I don't know if you saw this because this seems like something you would have gotten a huge kick out of. But Elliot's 32 thoughts led off with how sad it is that we won't get to see Crosby and McDavid on the same line, and how when they worked out together, it was magic. And I'm like, yeah, but who are they playing against in the summer? Like, oh, God, they were just making plays left and right. I'm like, they found like 10 guys like hanging out and wherever it is that they can work out. And like, oh, yeah, I'm sure they were making great plays against these stiffs. I'm sure, like, you know.
Yeah, against Mike Babcock's
right, university team. Yeah, right.
McGill?
Is that the only Canadian college you can name, Slack?
Top of my head, yes. Oh, Ryerson. There's another one.
Queens.
University of Calgary has the Dinos.
Oh, there's four.
Akeem Hicks's college got brought up during the broadcast, too. Regina.
Regina. Yeah.
The University of Regina.
Paulina and Lund.
That's right.
All right. Well, I guess we better get to the Cretans. I hear they want to know about eggnog.
Yes, there's an overwhelming sentiment. Basically, there are many, variations on a theme here. So basically, they just want us to riff on eggnog.
I'll go first because this is a sore subject for me. I don't think I can remember trying eggnog. I just think I hate it. So I really want to try it, but not bad enough to actually try it. That's where I'm at.
It's well, here's the thing. I am pro eggnog, but like I don't have time to like actually make it or whatever. But like
for you get Oberweis makes a good one, right?
Well, get the premix.
Yeah, exactly. No, Oberweis does. It's incredibly rich, but no, get the shit that's got the booze already in it and go for the $7 bottle of Evan Williams, and that's where it's at. A little bit.
They make their own eggnog, or you add your own?
No, they make their own eggnog pre-boozed.
You can get it. You can get it without booze and add your own booze too, Andrew.
Well, yeah, no, I knew that. I just didn't know they made pre-mixed ones, which is good.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, and for dirt cheap, especially at Woodman's, unofficial sponsor of the show.
I was gonna say not a sponsor of the show.
How much of that can you drink before you get nauseous?
One.
Okay.
How much can you, or how much should you? Those are two very different questions.
You personally, how many? Because I think the nightmare scenario is you're barfing up pancake mix all night or whatever the fuck.
the definitive statement on eggnog was made by Dave Attell about 20 years ago.
Yes, elf cum. That's what I think of every time.
I want to get a little drunk, but I also want some pancakes. and then he says, you know what eggnog is? You don't want to hear it, but I'm going to tell you. Elf cum. May as well pour it on your back and slap yourself on the ass. But no, you
maybe
probably,
this is the year. I don't maybe, know.
You probably
yeah,
only
you should try it.
Should you probably for it's a minimal. It's a low point of entry for $7 for a fifth. You probably only should have one. For me, probably like three or four like coffee mugs worth. Little.
That's not too bad.
Two max.
Pre chill it. No ice cubes. A little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg.
Yeah, maybe I'm gonna need that.
Maybe some brown sugar on top, and you're like, do you enjoy Bailey's, Andrew?
Yeah, definitely.
Then you will enjoy one mug of eggnog.
All right, fair enough.
I saw some mixes too. People, I think somebody asked about bourbon rum. I've also had it with brandy, which isn't bad.
Wow,
you're a fine girl.
That feels sophisticated to me.
Very sophisticated.
Did you drink it out of a goblet?
It was actually, I think it was a goblet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
A pimp chalice?
Not a pimp chalice.
By the way, let's take a minute to admire Kofi going for 25-14 and destroying Missouri by 30 in St. Louis Blues.
Thank you for bringing that up. As I was watching him tonight, Andrew, I feel like it's almost similar, and Sam's going to probably – his eyes are going to pop out of his head and yell at me for this. But I feel like watching Kofi go against just 6'10", 180-pound string beans. Mm-hmm. It's like watching Shaq playing at LSU in the early 90s.
Well, when he gets
that's
the matchup.
That's what it reminds me of.
When he gets the matchup, like, I don't think Missouri has a guy over 6'6", or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's almost, or it's almost like those, like, clips you see of, like, guys in high school who are fully grown and developed, and they're playing against, like, 5'8", dipshits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what Kofi looks like, especially in some of these matchups, like tonight against Missouri. And he's just like donkey. He's just doing like those two-handed power Shaq dunks. And it's just fucking hilarious.
That's the basketball equivalent of like I'll bring Sam back in the conversation of Wardlow power bombing someone four times.
How is Illinois out of the top 25 at this point?
They had some bad losses.
Well, they had bad losses at the beginning, but they're going to be 9-3 now.
I know, but they just like they get
patience,
John, and then they lose.
Yeah,
I think they'll be fine at the end of the year, but it's just it is what it is. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, they'll be ready to lose to Loyola again.
Yeah, fuck off, Sam. Jesus Christ.
I will say that Kofi, it's good to see that he just doesn't fall out like in the first 5 minutes of games anymore. I think that's been the biggest improvement in his overall game.
With college basketball, I feel like that just is like a thing that happens in some.
Yeah, especially once
the game you decide to care about the most, all of a sudden your best player's got 2 fouls in 8 seconds.
Yeah, and especially once the Big Ten referees start calling everything, exactly. Even though it's the most physical conference in all of basketball.
Just ask them.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, back to the Creedence.
Back to the Creedence.
But eggnog, yeah, it's fine. We'll try it. Moving on.
All right, longtime guy, Jeff Hicks. And this is in honor of the NBA officially making a salary cap exemption to the Let's Remember Some Guys lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Matt McClung, baby.
Which early 2010s NBA players do the Bulls need to sign with the COVID exemption?
Oh, God. This could go on forever. What's Jason Williams doing? Right, what's Jason Williams doing these days?
I mean, Jamal Crawford, it should have been like first off the top of the book because he can still put 35 on you off the bench.
He could. That's a good call. I don't know. Did they get the needle out of Luol Deng's spine yet?
I mean, they already got Ersan Ilyasova's dumbass on the roster.
Who does?
The Bulls.
Since when?
Since yesterday.
Oh my God, I hate that fucking guy.
Ewan Bernstein.
No one has a worse complexion in the history of mankind than that guy.
I mean,
is Luis Scola available?
That's not bad.
Adam Morrison.
He was never
good.
None of that.
Luis Scola could at least do some damage. Wilson Chandler. How about that?
Where's Zawoski's guy, Jarrett Jack, these days?
Oh, nice.
Tears on a river.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, he's scouting for Georgia Tech because that's exactly what he's doing.
Oh, is he really?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. That's where he went to school.
Yeah, that was a ACC Big Ten challenge, I believe, year that Illinois went to the final. They just fucking smoked them.
Yeah, that was Wake Forest, I think.
Was it Wake Forest? Oh, okay. Yeah,
that was right. Chris Paul led Wake Forest.
Yeah. They made him cry.
Jared Jack is an assistant for the Suns.
Oh, there you go. He's scouting he's very for the successful Suns.
Because the Suns are good.
I mean, he's scouting, but he's also coaching.
It's all in one.
You do both.
You do both.
They could sign him to that team. It'd probably be pretty easy.
What's next on the hit parade?
All right, let's see here. Animal stories. What is the best Christmas tradition and why is it Boxing Day Premier League?
Well, yeah, there it is. Like, Slag will back me up on that one.
I don't know. I mean, NBA Christmas Day,
they throw a lot of trash at you now these days.
The Bulls aren't even on it this year. Huge mistake.
You always get the lake show around dinner time, though.
Well, yeah, and that's trash right now. Yeah, you get the Knicks at noon or 11 a.m. No, thank you.
Hard pass.
You know, you get the Lakers, whether they're good or bad, and they're not only are they bad now, they're not even fun. But yeah, the NBA is fine. You know, we'll be hate watching the Packers this Christmas, right?
Oh, no.
No.
In our cancel culture hoodies.
Yeah, freshly out of the box, wrapped up. It's what we all gifted each other this year.
Well, that's special.
Sam, I'm sending yours tomorrow, so it should
be on your
doorstep.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to it. I'm going to wear it to Slack's wedding.
Oh, God. But under your suit, you've got to do the since Superman shirt pull, or are you just going to Hulk out and it's just going to come out by the end of the night?
Right.
You can go either way.
You can go either way. A couple more.
All right. Not necessarily a longtime guy, but friend of the program, John Zahor.
Oh, goodness.
Are there any shows or movies you watch every year around the holidays that are not specifically holiday or Christmas movies / episodes?
Yes.
I watch Die Hard with a Vengeance, number 3, John McTiernan, Irish Excellence, Sky Point for Matt, every year on Christmas Eve.
My family watches Roadhouse on Christmas.
Hell really?
Yes.
Hell yes.
Every year. It's phenomenal.
That's fantastic.
Dude, Slack, I mean, I've told you that, like, the beer league team I've caught on with is, like, entirely Swayze Roadhouse themed.
No, like, that's
jersey,
great.
Jerseys and everything. Like, I had the pillow as, like, the wrestling belt giveaway for one game. I mean, I suppose with me for this, like, I mean, this is, what, 7 or 8 years in a row now, going to see the fucking Lawrence Arms 3 nights in a row. They're not explicitly Christmas-related, but they come home for the holidays and do 3 nights at some shit pit venue here around the city.
Yeah, so. I always do the Waco Brothers Shubas show. They're not doing it this year. They're waiting till January, maybe. The Muppet show on Christmas Eve, though we won't get to do it this Christmas Eve. But that's usually – that's an on – sort of on again, off again.
But isn't that Christmas related, the Muppets?
Not the old Muppet show. I mean, they had Christmas episodes.
He's not doing a Muppet Christmas Carol. He's just doing
okay. The
actual the old Muppets. Muppet show.
I see.
I mean,
although like, I enjoy the Muppets Christmas Carol as well. Not, you know, not a monster.
Michael Caine at his Michael Cainest.
Indeed. All right, one more, and then we gotta get out of here.
All right, let's end on something aspirational here. Where was it? Who had it? I'm trying to get the exhibit. Alex August, if Santa granted you guys one wish each on something Chicago sports related, what would it be?
Santa doesn't grant wishes.
I know. Like, just
yeah, but if he did.
No, Santa's coming out of his genie this year.
out of his genie.
Out of his genie lamp.
Sam, the question
this
wasn't...
This is Middle Eastern Santa, apparently.
Middle Eastern Santa.
The question wasn't, does Santa grant wishes? The question was, if he could. So let's just go with it, you know?
You didn't do improv classes. You got a yes and this shit.
I actually didn't do improv classes, but...
Thank you.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God.
One less is a win for society.
He doesn't have to grant a wish. He just has to take his reindeer... and perform a drone strike on the Ricketts compound.
Wow.
And then that would be...
I mean, that's for society as well.
That's for society as well. Like that
yeah, not only are you helping the Cubs...
I'm not only helping the Cubs and Cubs fans. I am helping society.
The country.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what all at large. Yeah, this clearly isn't Mel Gibson Santa from... what the hell was that called last year?
Fat Man.
Yeah.
It was called Fat Pitch. Fat Man was really good. I know it's Mel Gibson, but it was really good, and I really enjoyed it.
Walton Goggins hides a multitude.
Cures a lot of ills. Yeah. But I'm having Santa arm up the sleigh with a couple ICBMs. So actually, ICBMs are ground to air.
You want Hellfire missiles.
I want Hellfires, and he's flying over the Ricketts compound. Right as they're sitting down to there.
Here and Nebraska?
No, like in Wyoming, the new compound, when they all get together for dinner/ their clan meeting, and that's when he's taking them all out. Dad, too. We're taking them all out.
Oh, Joe's the worst.
Yeah. Well, although I'll give Joe actually made the money. The rest of the kids don't know what they're doing. I'll give Joe that. But he's the worst. And I'm having Santa take him out. And then I'm going to have the reindeer... come by and shit on the wreckage.
And then,
anyway, that's mine. You three, go ahead.
I would just wish that the Bears would have a clue, I guess, an ownership to know like five people that aren't on Dan Pompey's list that might be good to run an football side of the organization.
I just ask Ozzie Newsome who to hire. The Ravens always make.
Well,
the
he's
playoffs.
On Dan's list, so.
But he retired, right? He's not going to, like, come back.
I don't know. He was on Dan's list.
He's on Dan's list? Okay.
Yeah, but he's a black. So how are the McCaskies going to deal with that?
That's a good question.
If he goes to church with them, I'm sure to
cure yeah, a lot of yeah, those. He'll convince them that he's white if he goes to church with them. Slack, what would be your gift from Santa to Chicago sports fans?
Jesus. I think it'd probably be the similar to John's. Let's get somebody in here with a clue. I want the Bears to be good more than I want any other team to do anything, so that's where I'm at.
And with great trepidation, I turn this over to Matt.
I guess a fourth or fifth DUI for TLR on eggnog.
We don't hit anybody.
No, yeah, no, just the he gets the Gordon Bombay treatment, and he's got to resign in disgrace.
That's fair. Maybe he can wrap his car around a pole or something.
Oh yeah, if it's just him.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Cardinals tradition.
Yeah, right. It's the Cardinal way.
That's the Cardinal way. Best DUIs in baseball.
hopefully in St. Louis, not around here. Just to make sure that no one important is taken out.
No, he'll be in Maricopa County, where everything happens.
Where everything happens. Where dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On that pleasant
That's enough note. Of this. On that pleasant note. For Slack, for John, for Matt, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very Merry New Year. Happy holidays. We will be back some point in the opening throes of 2022. Don't know when exactly. Maybe we'll wait for the Bears.
The Hawks will have played one more game by then.
Maybe the Bears season ending thing. We'll close it all up. Whatever kind of break we need here. But until then, hope you're safe. Hope you're around people you care about. Hope there's eggnog if you want it. I certainly don't. But until we meet again, do enjoy this time of year. And we'll talk again after Slack is married. We hope. We hope that goes off without a hitch. But yeah, take care.